came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, we live, you know. We came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Your Sports Show. It is your boy, Big Baby, a.k.a. the soul of R&B.
You gotta add more inflection when you say it. You gotta say it like...
Do you want me...
Like 98.7 Kiss FM, like Isaac Hayes and them. That's what I need to hear. I need to hear, like, the soul of R&B.
Like, do you need me to lick your lips?
You gotta lick your lips and grab your nuts when you do it. That's how you gotta do it.
Like, you need me to gyrate too. You need me to do all of this too, right?
Hey man, I feel refreshed. I slept. My kids let me sleep. I'm feeling pretty good.
And we have the refreshed one, aka BK Matt.
What's going on? What it do?
And to my far right, we have the queen, Queen Tay.
Yo.
First and foremost, we still need to get the killers of Breonna Taylor arrested, for sure.
Say her name.
Say her name, for sure. First of all, that needs to be done. Second of all, Tay, you are a very popular amongst the people that I've spoken to about our last show. Yeah. Yes. One of my good friends said she's gonna be a listener as long as you're on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Oh snap. Yo, Larry's watching. The big bro is watching.
Larry, what's going on, brother? I don't got no liquor, I got water, but you know.
Well, I'm pre-gaming. I'm pre-gaming for tonight. It's gonna be lit tonight.
At 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
That's pre-game.
Yeah, that's hey, man. Pre-game. Jeez.
Hey man. Gotta be the life of the party sometimes. Even if the party's not even on right now. Gotta be the life.
Hey.
That's how I go.
Hey, do your thing. Do your thing. So how's y'all week been?
Oh,
busy.
Tay, go first. Go first.
Busy. I had a lot of really important meetings this week, which looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. That's it. Busy as usual.
I feel you. You gotta stay busy. Matt, what about you?
I'm back at work, so I've been working fucking 15-hour days, man. I'm just. Like I said yesterday, I hit y'all up in the chat. I'm like, yo, I'm exhausted, yo. Like, I'm mad exhausted. So I finally got my sleep yesterday. And I feel a lot better. But for the most part, I've been pretty good, you know, because these Giannis fans about to get this work.
Work.
They about to get this work.
Matt.
Damn.
Matt. Matt.
Let's start with that, though.
I wanted to be wrong so bad.
But here's the thing.
You wanted to be wrong? I know I wanted to be wrong. I wanted all the smoke.
Let me start out first by saying I told everybody that the Miami Heat was not going to be nothing to fuck with. People was looking at me like I was crazy. Like I'm like, all right. I'm like, all right.
Andre had this conversation. I was like, Miami, bro, because I was upset that Jimmy Butler left the Sixers. So I'm like, I don't know, bro. Miami. He's like, bro, low key they gonna be dogs. I'm like, no. He's like, yo, if they get Iguodala, it's gonna be a wrap. I'm like, what you mean? I was like, yo, you really think they gonna get Iggy? He's like, yeah, they gonna get Iggy. And if they do, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Lo and behold. It is a wrap.
Wrap that motherfucker up.
Jimmy Butler didn't come to play.
With people's kids. Or people's kids. He didn't come to play with people's kids.
Great. It's like, once you, it was very early on in our podcast that you started to talk about the Heat. And you did early on predict that it was going to be like Boston, Miami for the Eastern Conference Finals. And once you said that, I started to pay more attention to Miami. And I was like, yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna hold you. I didn't really start saying it till like, I want to say after All-Star break, and I was like, yo, they really are like killing. Like, and I'm like, I got two friends that are like Miami Heat fans, and I've known them predominantly since like junior high school. So it's not like because LeBron went there. They've solid been Miami Heat fans. We used to go argue all the time because Miami was a thorn in the Knicks' side. So low key, I'm hearing all the, you know, the Miami. I'm like, Jimmy Butler is a talent. I always knew he was a talent, right? But damn, to be that much of a turnaround for that squad after they, you know, after Whiteside was gone, it was just like, you know, you was kind of like rocking back and forth, like, how are they gonna bounce back? Even though it wasn't really much of a bounce from Whiteside, but the fact that they're this big of a threat to the top team in the East for 2 years straight, it's mind-blowing. Oh, my
goodness.
It's mind-blowing. You're down three games to zero, Milwaukee. Three games. And we just got news that Giannis is questionable for tonight.
Giannis been questionable the whole series. Giannis been questionable the whole playoffs. If we're gonna be real,
I'm not gonna say the whole playoffs. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna sit there and say like Giannis don't ball. He balls. Mm-hmm. But I've been saying it from day one, like from last year, like from the summer when we was doing we was prepping for four quarters, and I was sitting there telling you, look, I don't think Milwaukee is as great as y'all making it seem, bro. But Giannis, I hear that. But their main offense is their defense, and Miami is a transitional defense kind of team. They're gonna block that paint. Giannis can't shoot worth the damn. The sunlight shines on a dog's ass once in a while. He might hit a few shots, but if you forcing that man to just shoot, y'all ain't gonna win, bro. Y'all ain't gonna win because y'all stacked as fuck on the half court defense, on the half court offense.
Overrated.
All right, we gotta keep the same energy that we was giving keep LeBron. The same you gotta keep the same energy, bro.
Miami exploited Giannis.
Right. This is not the only team. Boston. Toronto exposed them. Toronto exposed them too.
There's a difference between being exposed and being exploited.
And getting that broom shoved in you.
And his weaknesses were exploited by the Heat. It's a difference.
The thing that pisses me off is everybody's like, oh, this is going to be Giannis's league when LeBron is gone, right?
It still could be.
I hear that. Cool. That's what I said. Maybe 3 or 4 years if he develop a jump shot, it'll be a different conversation. But to say that he's second to LeBron, LeBron is a different type of a player on offense and defense, and it's bigger than what he does offensively. It's about getting everybody around him better. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton is not playing like he's supposed to be playing.
No.
Brooke Lopez not playing like how he's supposed to be playing.
But really, you know what Brooke Lopez, like,
look, I don't want to hear that. Brooke Lopez was dropping 40 and 30 on the Brooklyn Nets. I don't want to hear that.
You know how
I don't want to hear that at all.
I'm sorry. The key word in your sentence, brother, was.
You know how far away those times are from him for him, bro? Like,
I don't want to hear that, bro.
What's up?
I don't
want to hear that. Years ago.
I don't want to hear that. Like I said, yo, Milwaukee as a team is a lot better of a team than what LeBron had going to the finals against the Spurs. And he dragged that team dead on arrival all through the playoffs, all against fucking Detroit, who was the top team in the Eastern Conference, set to go against the fucking Spurs. I don't want to hear that. We're going to keep the same energy. You compare teams. These two teams, I'm going to add the Malcolm Brogdon team too last year. They were the two best teams in the East. You ran up against a one-leg Kawhi and the same damn Toronto team that kept getting bounced in the second round. You lost to them. Now you're getting your ass smoked by the Miami.
Mizzled.
Smith. I want to hit. Yo, there's no. We keeping the same energy. I'm not. Just because we're saying Giannis is overrated, is not saying that he's trash. He's not trash. But he's not nowhere close to a LeBron. He's not Kawhi. He's not Anthony Davis. He's not Kevin Durant. He is not light-skinned Jesus. Y'all got to stop.
Yeah.
Y'all got to stop.
Yeah.
Y'all got to stop.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The same energy. Y'all got to keep the same energy. And I'm going to say this again so it's clear. Saying Giannis is overrated is not saying that he's trash. The man is a two-time, he about to be a two-time MVP. He deserved that shit. But this is not it right now, the way it's looking, that man got a lot of work to do before I can put him in the, before I can say Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant and all these other people are better than him. I'm sorry.
I said that and people said I sounded crazy, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying this. I've been saying this since this podcast started. How about that?
Yep.
Oh, that's a good question.
Let's get into that.
What is it?
That's a good question.
So there was a little bit of Twitter exchange between Richard Jefferson, Jay Williams, and LeBron James.
And Scottie Pippen.
And now Scottie Pippen. Richard Jefferson said Giannis is a Pippen. He's not a Jordan. He's not an Alpha. He's a Pippen, right? Jay Williams said, so what? LeBron was a Pippen to D. Wade. Right. LeBron responded.
Who did that?
Jay Williams.
Jay Will.
Now, LeBron responded and said, what the fuck does that have to do with me? What does any of this have to do with me? I'm LeBron James. I've been the only LeBron James. Then Scottie Pippen jumped in and said,
"He disrespected.
Giannis is not Scottie Pippen. I'm not. I don't have two MVPs. But since we're talking about player comparisons, what player were you compared to? Woo!
Can I go first? All right. I'm gonna start with the J. Will comparison.
They will stupid.
He's not stupid because I kind of got where he was going with it. LeBron's first year in Miami, we all know LeBron is superior to Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, mm-hmm. but because of what Dwayne Wade has done for that franchise, LeBron mm-hmm. deferred to him a lot. Mm. So I get that comparison, right? Okay. But after that summer, or when they got bounced out of the finals by Dallas, mm-hmm. and Wade basically told him, like, look, I get what you're doing, you my brother, but I'm gonna need you to be the man. I'm gonna need you to be the king. When he got that verification from Dwayne Wade, LeBron wasn't Pippen. LeBron wasn't Jordan. LeBron was LeBron James, the king. The man. So I get what Jay Will was trying to say. Maybe it was a sound clip. Oh, that's fucked up, bro. That's fucked up.
Bro, that's wild. You got chill.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Go ahead. But I get what Jay Will was saying, but yeah, maybe he needed more to shed onto that. And he probably might have corrected himself, I'm not sure. But the Giannis being a Pippen, mm-hmm. Giannis is not an alpha male. He doesn't have that dog in him. I'm sorry, he doesn't.
I mean, Pippen had that dog in him a little bit.
Yeah, I know, but the same. But that's pretty much what Richard and a lot of people get at Richard Jefferson, and the man is a champion. And granted, he got a championship ring with LeBron, but I don't understand why people shit on Richard Jefferson so much. Like Richard Jefferson was. Like, damn! Everybody shits on him. It's bad. It's horrible
because he has like this syndrome where he talks above his skills.
So does Kendrick Perkins.
We're not talking about him right now. We're talking about Richard Jefferson.
Right, we need to get on what the fuck he was saying. Like that man needs some cocoa butter for what he did on First Take the other day. That shit was horrible.
Wait. Now, Giannis, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair to compare him to Pippen because that's not what he is. Because right. if anything, you compare him to somebody like Shaq, who needed a facilitator like a Kobe, like a D Wade, like somebody on the court to facilitate those plays, right? Now, right. let's be real here too. Mm-hmm. Jordan needed Pippen as much as Pippen needed Jordan.
Facts.
Right. 100%.
By calling him a Pippen, in a way, it's calling him somebody's second option instead of putting some respect on Pippen's name as one of the greatest small forwards of all time.
Right.
Let's be real here. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the comparisons to Pippen and Giannis is too different. It's like apples and oranges to me. Mm-hmm. Not as far as skill, maybe as far as like what Matt was saying, alpha beta mentality.
Right.
Right. But Jordan needed a Pippen just as much. And I think that you should be comparing a Giannis to like a Shaq, like a Ewing, like those type of players who needed a facilitator on the court to kind of set them up for success.
I agree. I think I see more Shaq in Giannis because of how he finishes at the rack.
Yeah.
Strong all of the time. Like a lot of things, a lot of plays that's layup for everybody else is dunked for Giannis.
I would compare him more to Ben Wallace if you want my honest opinion.
Okay.
I would go Ben Wallace.
I can see that.
I'm going to tell you why, because he's a defensive threat. He get rebounds. But when he's in that paint, it's like look out below type shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Shaq wasn't really known for his defense,
but he's
known
has-
for his dominance.
Yeah, I think Giannis has more in his offensive bag than Ben Wallace does.
I give you that because he's more athletic. But I'm saying as far as comparison, I wouldn't compare him to a Shaq. Shaq was just and he was just dominant down low. That was it. He wasn't known for his defensive prowess. He wasn't that type of player. Don't get me wrong. Not saying he doesn't block shots and he didn't protect the paint. He definitely did. But Giannis is more of a. He can defend the wing. He can defend the perimeter. He can defend the paint. So you take Shaq out of the paint, and he's fooled. He's literally fooled. You want to outrun him? He's fooled. Whereas Ben Wallace, or you have your Ben Wallace or your Tayshaun Princes of the world, where they can guard the perimeter, the paint. They can get out there for that shot. Right. And they're dominant on the perimeter, not on the perimeter, but on the transition. So that's why I would say more or less a Ben Wallace, and like I said, like a Tayshaun Prince, more or less than a Shaq per se.
Gotcha. So before we move forward, actually let's keep the ball rolling. So the Rockets beat the Lakers in Game One, 117-97. What was the most glaring thing that you guys saw out the game? Matt, what did you see out that game?
Anthony Davis and LeBron James are too damn fucking passive. Mm. And more Anthony Davis than I would say LeBron, because LeBron – I expect that from LeBron now at this stage in his career.
Well, so I'm not going to essentially the point guard. So.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna dog LeBron. LeBron's going to be LeBron, but – Anthony, and this is the same that I was saying with the Portland series. If Anthony Davis doesn't play with a sense of urgency or a sense of aggression, you're going to lose. It should be no reason why y'all got outboarded by the Houston Rockets, where the tallest man on that team is like 6'7 or 6'9, I believe. I'm not sure. Yeah, out-length them. Like, it makes no sense. None. I understand they're a three-point shooting team. I get that. I grasp that. But they outboarded y'all. It made no fucking sense. Now, maybe it's game one. It's a filling out process. I still think that's bullshit. Because, again, you can't sleep on and this is one of the things that I've been saying when it comes to this Laker team. Everybody's expecting them to go to the finals and expecting them to run up against the Clippers or whatever the case may be, where it's really going to be a battle. But if you're playing like this in game one, the last thing you want to do is give a team like the Clippers momentum. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Houston, we know they're going to steamroll Houston because that system is not built to go up against a LeBron or that Laker team. Like let's be 100. They're not gonna hit all seven. They're not gonna hit every night.
I'm not sure about that though. But do you know what cost them that game? Putting a lineup that had never played together before on the court in the beginning of the fourth quarter when they were only down by 5 or 6 points. They put Rondo Howard. You know how I feel about Dwight Howard. But hold on. Let me look. Who did they put together? They put Kuzma, Rondo, James, Morris, and Dwight Howard, right? You're trailing by six. I can't hear you, Dre.
I said that's a trash lineup to put on the floor anyway.
But you're trailing by six in the fourth quarter, right? Why would you do that? To me, that doesn't make any sense. And the Rockets made them pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
They went up, what, at that point, they went on a 16-3 run.
Beat the dog shit out of them.
Saying, like, I don't want to hear no, like, excuses at this point. We're in the second round now. You know what I'm saying? Like, your team's identity should be what it is at this point. This should be your core going into the finals, hopefully, if you make it there. But mm-hmm. Rockets are that team that if you make simple mistakes offensively, they're going to make you pay for it offensively. That was
especially
always
if they're hot. Especially if they're hot.
Especially if they're hot. Now, I can see this series going to six really easily.
Mm-hmm.
I really can. They're going to give them the challenge that Portland was supposed to give them.
It's going to be worse.
Yeah,
it's gonna be worse. This series may go seven, and it may not be the Lakers coming out of it. Honestly,
I'll say the Lakers in five.
I don't see them winning the next game though. I don't see them winning. Here's my opinion on that game. So they didn't really out rebound them. It was 41-41 on the boards. But at one point in time, the Rockets were out rebounding them by like.
I'm gonna tell you why
boards.
I feel like they out rebounded them. Their tallest man is like 6'7", 6'8".
I get what you're saying, but no, Ben Wallace was 6'7", and he was out rebounding most centers. Dennis Rodman was 6'8", 6'9", out rebounding most 7-footers. So I don't think it's a height thing; it's a heart thing in terms of wanting the board. And the Lakers didn't play with enough heart on the boards because they thought size was going to be everything. PJ
that's
Tucker,
what I'm saying. You got 3 men that's like 7 feet. Right. It makes no sense.
But PJ Tucker wanted it more. And that's why I said if the Lakers don't get it right, the Lakers are going to lose this series. And it's going to look crazy on them for losing this series. Forget about y'all need LeBron to take over. You need AD to take over. That's a given. The
it's
others
not take
need
over.
To...
They gotta play aggressive,
right?
They play soft sometimes, and it's aggravating.
They do, and I agree with you on that. But the others also have to contribute too, just this like the Rockets. Others have been contributing, no matter what they do, whether on offense or defense. The Rockets, the Rockets have the number one defense in the in the playoffs right now. The Houston Rockets have the number one defense in the playoffs. When do you think we would ever say that the Houston Rockets have the number one defense?
Would we ever say that about Mike D'Antoni?
Right. Right.
That's the best question to ask.
Right. Like, that didn't make sense. Now, this series is going to go long. Now, Clippers, Nuggets. Clippers and Nuggets. Apparently, everyone thought this was going to be a blowout series. Like, it was going to be a cakewalk. And the Nuggets said, hold my nuts, because they just tied the series 1-1 last night with a 110-101 victory. Bruh.
I'm with Stan, what Stan just said.
Hold on. At this point, I'm counting on Russ to win the series for the Lakers. Hey, who knows?
Can't count on Jeff Green the whole series. I'll tell you that now. Go ahead.
So if we're looking at the game, the Nuggets Clippers game, mm-hmm. Kawhi only had 13. Pandemic P had 22. Paul George had 22. Pat Bev had 2. Lou Williams had 13. That's just a few. Now, on the Nuggets side, Joker had 26. Jamal Murray had 27. Gary Harris had 13. Monte Morris had 10. This team is this Clippers team is supposed to be the best defensive team we have seen, and they haven't really been shown it this playoffs.
Honestly, this bubble is exposing a lot of. I don't know. Maybe it's because there's no crowd. I think that's probably what it is. A lot of teams feed off energy. Throw me a bone a little bit. I'm just saying, like, this Denver team is a tough ass team because who expected them to come back and beat Utah the way they beat Utah? Shout to Jamal Murray because he bought his ass off. And Joker was like, all right, I see you tired. I got this 30 piece for you. And got rid of Utah.
I've always felt that the Clippers were an overrated squad, too. They've been exploited all through the fucking playoffs. Let's be real here.
Everybody, I think Paul George is more overrated than that Clippers team.
Clearly. You got to say something. I don't talk about Paul George often because I'm not really impressed.
None of us are.
Paul George. George Paul.
Should be struggling against the teams that they're struggling with in the way that they're struggling against them. You get what I'm saying? You're supposed to be wiping the floor with the fucking Nuggets.
I wouldn't go that far. I didn't think it was going to be a cakewalk. I think all teams in the Western Conference deserve it.
Because the thing is, like, I don't see the Clippers winning shit this year.
Hey.
I can't put up. Let me tell you something. How the Clippers are playing now, whether it's Miami or Boston, that goes into the Eastern Conference Finals against them, they're going to have a big problem. In the finals, that if they went that far, they're going to have a problem with either one team.
Boston and Miami, you got to probably put Toronto in there too because they're playing like they got something to prove too.
The Clippers are going to have a problem against any Eastern Conference team if they keep playing the way they play.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a fact.
Yes.
Any of the remaining teams, probably outside of the Bucks, they're going to have trouble. Like,
they're not beating the Heat. They're not beating the Celtics either. If they played against the Celtics, they're not beating them either. Let me be real. They could beat the Rockets. They could probably beat LA, the Lakers.
Yes.
But I'm holding that at a high probably.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Clippers are not impressive at all. And to be honest with you, we tend to forget that LeBron is and AD are playing through injury too.
Yep, but we can't give that. We can't give that excuse because we'd be riding LeBron if we give him that excuse.
Whoa! It's not an excuse.
No,
but
I know it's not an excuse, but you know, people. I'm not even talking about Matt because you know I'll be joking with Matt about LeBron and stuff like that. But I'm talking about people who are legit, like LeBron detesters and haters.
Skip.
They would be like, oh, that's not an excuse. Jordan played through injury. Blah, 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 blah. Like, people was injured.
I
like,
a whole episode about all the reasons why I fucking hate Michael Jordan.
we're going to talk about our new latest series that's coming out at the end of each month, at the end of the show. But and that'll definitely be one of the episodes. But yeah, the Clippers are, if they don't stop playing and then ratchet up, it's gonna be a wrap for them. It's just gonna be a wrap. Raptors and Celtics. The Celtics fumbled the bag. Let's say that.
Yeah.
They were up 2-0. They let that shot go off at the end of the game by OG Anunoby. And I knew after that shot went off, I'm like, Toronto's about to win the next game, and they're gonna tie it up.
Momentum.
You don't want to give a team like Toronto that type of momentum. Like, what did you think about the Boston and Raptors series so far, Tay?
I think it's a really competitive series. I never want to be one to count out Toronto ever. You get what I'm saying? Because they are the defending champions. So the fact that they're missing one of their key piece, you know what I'm saying? And still balling out of control the way they are. You know, Boston shouldn't be struggling against them the way they are, the way y'all hyped Boston up in the goddamn beginning of the playoffs. Not y'all, Matt, you, Dre.
Yes, I take that one because I didn't think it was going to be this, but I also didn't think Toronto was going to be playing the way they were either, honestly.
I'm not lying.
Yeah, I did too.
Toronto
was one of the main teams that Boston struggled with during the season. I knew that.
I didn't think
it was going to be a cakewalk. I didn't think it was going to be, especially after game one, I didn't think it was going to be like, oh, game two, down to a shot. Then game three, Boston saying, fuck this shit. Y'all going to, like, we're going to do this. We're going to lock up Jaylen Brown. We're going to shut down Jaylen Brown and hope Jason Tatum bails us the fuck out. And then they get their ass back. Like the way that they did, so I didn't expect that. I knew going into the postseason that Toronto was going to be a problem, Boston was going to be a problem, Miami was going to be a problem. I knew that Milwaukee was not going to get past either.
We said that.
I mean, so the fact that Toronto and Boston is becoming like an interesting matchup to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm not shocked. I didn't count Toronto out either, but I don't think that they're going to beat Boston. It might go 6 or 7.
Yep. Kyle Lowry showing up. Spicy P. Finally.
Shockingly, right? Shockingly. Because you know Kyle Lowry likes to do this like hide and go seek shit.
Kyle Lowry be doing some bullshit in the playoffs. Yeah. He do some bullshit.
He follow when he wants to.
Yeah. But I definitely think this series is going 7 games.
And shout out to Van Vliet too.
Van Vliet got his kids there, so you know it's a rap, bro.
Yeah, like, shout out to Van Vliet balling.
You know, coaches don't can't bring family.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up too. So coaches can't bring coaches and referees, well, at least until the conference finals for the referees, but coaches can't bring family members or guests inside the bubble.
So?
How's that fair if the players can do it, the refs can do it, and the coaches can't?
You ain't in these trenches. You ain't on the floor.
It's like a tripping.
If I'm putting up 40 a night, I need my wife. Shit, you just
right. But the coach has to put you in position to win, and the coach is also the biggest part of the team too. So for the coaches not to be able to have their family there, that's bullshit. Yeah,
they can have their wife. Fuck them kids. Them kids stay home.
Damn, you sound like Jimmy Butler.
Wife, yeah. Kids, stay ass home. Mm.
Well, we know what Matt thinks. Tay, what do you think about the coaches not being able to have their kids?
It's definitely not fair. You know what I'm saying? I think that, yo, Matt, you dumb, yo. You mad dumb. But they should have been. I don't get why that's even like a thing. That doesn't make any sense to me. I feel like, you know, the coaches deserve it. A lot of them coaches don't have young kids either. A lot of them coaches is old. Okay? So they'll only probably be bringing their wives or girlfriends, not their grown-ass kids.
Right.
The coaches should have been able to bring their wives when everybody else were able to.
I agree.
Fuck them kids. Like I said, fuck them kids.
they just want to
see Mickey anyway. He ain't here.
Can't be using my slogan or anything like that, but it's all good.
Sorry. That need to be a shirt, though. Fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids. You're a sweatshirt.
Oh, man. Brock Lesnar started that shit.
Definitely did. Definitely
when
did.
When he said that the first time, I was like,
that was funny as shit, bro.
I don't give a fuck about your kids. I was like,
you're not supposed to.
And neither do I. And I felt that. But Let's get into
birth to you ain't my problem.
Let's get into the basically the topic of the week so far. Steve Nash. Well, first, Tyronn Lue has been signed by the Philadelphia 76ers as a head coach.
And he's a better fit for them.
Yes. Yeah. So this definitely means one of those two are getting traded. So he's going to figure out which one of them is going to get traded. I think it's Ben, honestly. Someone people have been thinking it's Joel. I think it's Ben. I see more money in Joel than I do in Ben Simmons. No, but
you want our opinion on that?
No, that's not it. This is what I want your opinion on. Steve Nash is now the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Let's hear what Stephen A. Smith had to say.
My issue is not with Sean Marks. My issue is not with Steve Nash. Steve Nash was a tremendous player. He played a developmental role with the Golden State Warriors. He's highly respected and adored by a lot of people within the NBA community. On its face, in terms of the individual he is, I'm incredibly happy for him. Sean Marks is, as I consider to be, a person that's doing an outstanding job in Brooklyn. I have no doubt that he feels he hired the best man for the job, looking at his roster and who he wanted to lead this squad, and I have no issue with him. The issue that I had was with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving signing off on this. And the reason I have an issue with them signing off on it is because Steve Nash, for all the superlatives I threw out there, has no coaching resume at all. And for him to not have a coaching resume and to never have coached as an assistant coach, never to have coached as a head coach, and to walk into the media capital of the world, which is New York, and to be literally inheriting a championship roster from day one, that does not happen for black people. And that is why I said it is white privilege. I said it yesterday. I'm saying it today. I'm going to say it next week. I'm going to say it next month. I'm going to say it next year. I don't give a damn what anybody says. And let me be very, very clear. When I'm talking about it, I'm talking about the fact that a black man with no resume to speak of at all does not get that opportunity. I'm not talking.
Okay. Okay, what are your thoughts on what Stephen A.
Smith said? First of all, he's wrong.
Okay.
I don't think it had anything to do with white privilege. Let's be real here, okay?
Okay.
I feel like it was his pedigree's influence. And I think that KD and Kyrie had a lot to do with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I feel as if there were so many NBA players turned coaches, you know what I'm saying, with half the accomplishments that Steve Nash had.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And were able to make waves in the NBA, right? I think he deserves a turn. Mm. Why not?
Well, Matt, what's your opinion on it?
Do I agree with Steve Nash being the Nets head coach? Not necessarily. I'm open to see what comes out of it. Do I feel like there's more qualified coaches that were available that could have gotten that spot? Yes. Mm-hmm. That are black? Definitely. Do I agree fully with Stephen A. Smith is saying that it's white privilege? No. Is it a sign that is it like an example of white privilege in a sense? Yes, because like he said, a black coach with Steve Nash's resume is not getting a team that's already made and mm-hmm. built to go be a contender. It's not. You can look him up. Doc Rivers, he had the Orlando Magics. They were not set to go to the finals from 99 to 2003. Mm-hmm. You can look up Jason Kidd. He had the fucking Knicks. Were not built to go, not the Knicks, the Nets. They were not built to go to the finals.
Actually,
you thought that they were. Go ahead. They were built.
They were built to go deep in the playoffs, but they weren't
to the finals.
You have Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce, KG, and Brooke Lopez on your team with Andre Kirilenko and Jared Wallace coming off your bench. Y'all niggas need to be going to the conference finals at least.
But they didn't.
They did. Yeah,
they had a coach. Their coach. Like, the fuck? Like, all right.
And then you gotta look at it in the aspect of, like, look at players that were, like, assistant coaches. Like Patrick Ewing. I can give you Patrick Ewing or Mo Cheeks or Muggsy Bogues. Like, look at these players that have been in the background grooming themselves to be that type of coach. Steve Nash wasn't that. Steve Nash helped out with Golden State.
I'm not hiring Muggsy Bogues over fucking Steve Nash.
Why?
I'm not.
Why? But why?
I'm not.
Why? I want to hear your reason.
You can't compare the two. You can't compare the two.
If we're comparing resumes.
Yeah, we're comparing resumes.
What resume does Steve Nash has as a coach?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. That's what he's saying.
Stephen A. Smith sounded like a complete jackass the week before. He had the flip flop as he usually does, and this was something that he chose to flip flop on, and that's what I'm not with, right?
But I'm not talking on the basis of last.
Steve Nash has the respect of the players already. That's number one. He's I feel like Kyrie and KD, they are at this point, they're not washed up, but they're not on the level that they were before they went to the Brooklyn Nets. So let's be real here too. All right. Mark Jackson, we talk about like Mark Jackson with the Golden State Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a championship contending team. He couldn't take them there. Steve Kerr did.
He built that team.
He didn't take them to the promised land. Steve Kerr did.
He took them to the first playoff series that they've had.
But did they win a championship under Mark Jackson? No, they didn't.
But he built that foundation for that team. That whole team he built.
I don't see no rings. I don't see no Mark Jackson rings.
You gotta stop, bro.
I'm not gonna stop.
Mark Jackson built that team.
Oh well.
There's no if and buts about it. He deserved all the credit in the world for it.
He doesn't give him that ring. Nope. Period.
It was
player privilege, but it wasn't white privilege.
You said it yourself. You qualify for a lot of jobs, and people will choose another applicant that does not have the resume that you had. It's not the same thing. It is the same thing.
Steve Nash played 18 seasons in the NBA.
He hasn't coached ever.
So how do we know who he did? Nobody knew he even wanted to coach. We don't know what type of work he's done with these players in the offseason.
He's not been on nobody's roster as an assistant coach, a manager, nothing.
You don't have to be on somebody's roster to work with the point guards, to work with the shooting guards. You could be a consultant.
There's more than coaching than just
all the time. Players do it all the time. Now, let me tell you something. I'm normally the first person to scream privilege. The first person, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why I don't agree with the Nash signing has nothing to do with white privilege. You get what I'm saying? Because if you had a snowball chance in hell of getting Popovich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash is not on that level of a Popovich. That's my problem. Not over a Tyronn Lue or Mark Jackson or Muggsy Bogues. Like,
but what you mentioned Popovich, but look at Popovich's resume. That's what I'm saying.
That's when I get pissed, right? It's not the same thing. What I'm saying is with Popovich, right? That looked like the caliber of coach that you were looking for, like a Popovich. You get what I'm saying? If they would have got anything below that, it would have been disappointing, white or black. If you're going for Pop and you come with Steve Nash, that's not impressive to me. It's not nothing to do with what I'm saying. The point is the white privilege part. Now that I don't feel is fair. And I think Steve A. Smith did that on purpose because he sounded like a jackass last week. So he wants his fans to feel that he's still with them in this racial bullshit. So he had to say something. But Steve Nash is respected by players. Period. There would have been no way in hell. Kyrie and KD had a lot of influence in that too.
And that's what he's directing his energy to them too. But my whole thing is, I'm not saying that it's white privilege. I don't agree with it being white privilege. Could it be used as an example of white privilege? Yes, it could. Because he's not qualified to have that type of a job. He's not. He has no coaching experience. And it's bigger than just Tyronn Lue's or Mark Jackson or Muggsy Bogues. There's other coaches. Like, what's the coach that just got let go from what the fuck? I forgot his name. The dude from the Pelicans. You could have hired him. But he has experience. There's other coaches that are out there
Steve Nash is their guy.
All right, and I'm open to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to shit on Steve Nash. I'm not. But when he's explaining it to the point of he doesn't have no experience, and you got all these other jobs, you got all these other like coaches that could have gotten that job or could have gotten the interview. Mm-hmm. One that are black. Two that are more qualified.
Well, we don't know who got the interview, though. We don't know who got the interview.
We don't know.
We don't know if those people were interviewed for the position. And
Sean Moss is going on many of interviews saying that was the guy that he wanted.
What?
Sean Moss is going on record and saying that he wanted Steve Nash. He could have easily defeated the fact of, we interviewed this guy, this guy, this guy. They didn't do none of that. They chose Steve Nash. And again, that's y'all right. I'm open to see how it goes. I like Steve Nash. I know what he's capable of. I know his intelligence when it comes to the game. I don't defute that.
But did you know that he was a player development consultant for the Golden State Warriors during
that season? I said that.
How does he have no type of experience, though?
But player consultant, not being a head coach or assistant coach.
Okay, that's fine. But you're acting like he's somebody who just walked off the street with no basketball experience at all and just got the keys to the kingdom.
No, I'm saying in the basis of if they have more people that are more qualified for the job. To everybody.
Obviously not to the people that mattered because they would have got the job.
Right.
I am right. Right. And you can't bring my instances were instances of white privilege. Why I didn't get what I got.
An example of white privilege.
You can't use white privilege for everything. Can't do it.
That's your opinion. Could that not be used as an example?
It's not.
Can't be used as an example. Not,
no, because if I was a team and he worked with the Golden State, like a team and KD and Kyrie, right? And I look at somebody who's worked hand in hand with the star players of the Golden State Warriors, which everybody's trying to mimic, I'm going to want some of those secrets for my team. Not with guys who kind of have good experience as assistant coaches. Their teams ain't really go and do much. You know what I'm saying? Like, What has Muggsy Bogues done as an assistant coach? I didn't even know he was assistant coaching. I had no idea. I'm like, really? What has he done?
So we do have to move on, but do you, Matt, any final thoughts on the subject?
Do I think it's white privilege? No. Could it be an example of it? Yes. So do I agree with Stephen A. Smith? No. But I get where he was going with it.
Tay, any final words on it?
Stephen A. Smith, he plays race baiting games when he fucking feels like it, and that's not fair. Because at the end of the day, it should have been it's a lot of players who transition into coaches with limited experience. We're already just saying that KD and Kyrie are just going to be this fucking super team for the Brooklyn Nets, and we really don't know what type of KD we're going to get and what type of Kyrie we're going to get next season either. So let's be real here, too. They're broken the fuck down. Their better years are more behind them than in front of them. So
that's an opinion. We don't know that.
So let's be real here, okay? But at the end of the day, Steve Nash, if I'm looking at it as a team president, right? This motherfucker was working with the best players in the league during their championship dominance. I'm going to want to know what the Golden State Warriors were doing that other teams weren't doing. And all these other people, the Tyronn Lues and stuff like that, once they didn't have their superstar players, what did they fucking do?
So my thoughts on it is, like I said, I don't think it's white privilege. I was 75-25 on it. I was more intrigued that Kyrie and KD picked Steve Nash, especially how loud Kyrie has been about social justice and everything like that. But at the same time, when it comes to the coaching in the NBA and the type of, you know, team that you want, Steve Nash is a proven leader. Kyrie is shaky as a leader. As Sean Marks, I honestly would need someone like Steve Nash in Kyrie's ear, someone like Steve Nash in KD's ear, who was in KD's ear when he was in Golden State, to be leaders. Because you have a young core that's been playing without their two best stars, and it's going to be rough for the players like Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, now that they'll be playing limited minutes or on limited touches. So the Steve Nash signing, essentially for leadership purposes, will be good. As far as player control, making sure his players do whatever they're supposed to do on court, that's something we shall see. But moving forward, the NFL, September 10th, the NFL is back. How do you guys feel about that? How do you guys feel about the NFL returning?
Now, if somebody needs more black coaches in the fucking league, it's the NFL.
The NFL definitely do need some black coaches. But, yes, they will be returning, and I have the notes here about how they will do it. So we spoke about this before, but some teams will have people in them. Some teams will have stadiums with fans. Some of them won't.
They playing all the Russian roulette with the coronavirus, huh?
Right, and they're also still traveling to each other. So
the season ain't gonna last long. So I don't even know. I thought we were gonna have something to really talk about, but like after that, you know, that shows you the politics that's infused into football too. That's so unsafe.
So just an example of how bad social distancing really is in terms of, or how much they're really playing Russian roulette. Arrowhead Stadium is probably one of the biggest stadiums in the NFL. They will be allowed 22% capacity. That is roughly about 16,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
16,000 people. Most of these teams are saying, we probably won't have people. Some of these teams are taking it by a case-by-case basis. As of now, and then you also have players that opted out to just not play because of the coronavirus and other things. So, for example, the Patriots, Patrick Chung, Marquise Lee, they're sitting out. Oh, Dante Hightower, Marquise Goodwin of the Eagles, Devin Funchess of the Packers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Geronimo Allison of the Detroit Lions, CJ Mosley of the New York Jets, Nate Solder of the New York Giants, and Damian Williams of the Kansas City Chiefs. It was more at one point in time, I believe, because I think I would. Yeah, it was a lot more people who decided to sit out or just wasn't going to be playing, but yeah. So, you also got to take into account that these games, because of the college NFL, the college season potentially not happening.
I thought it was, though.
Some divisions are playing, and some people aren't. So we can potentially have NFL games on Saturday based off that, too. So, as I said, as you said, honestly, it's kind of Russian roulette right now.
Kind of. It is. It's 100% is. Like
16,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah, in Arrowhead. Now,
and they're traveling. And they're traveling.
Yeah, that's the biggest part.
Well, some places you're supposed to quarantine for like 14, or is that only New York? Supposed to quarantine for 14 days.
I know here, wherever, if you go to one of those states or come from one of those states, you have to quarantine for 14 days. Yeah. So.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. The season might last like 4 games.
Yeah.
That's
scary. I didn't know that they were. Well, I heard that AEW was going to start allowing fans in this.
They already did.
They have.
All out. Yeah, they all out last night.
Yeah, no, nah, they
I heard that it was interesting, but and not in a good way, all out. But
shit, if Dre let us talk about that, it's a wrap. But anyway, he already know my energy. It's a wrap.
I'm glad I didn't pay for the pay-per-view. Let's just say that.
But they already allowed fans in there last night. How many? Yeah.
It's been more than that. It's been 2 weeks now they've had fans. So they're only at 10% capacity.
Oh, so then I read an article this morning saying that they were going to boost it up to more.
They may?
They definitely were. Something like that, yeah.
Hopefully not with the product they put on last night.
I think Daly's place is a bit wide, so they can put people, like the way you see the people sitting, they're sitting with their family members and they're like away from
spread
each
out.
Other.
They all spread
they're,
out.
They're,
yeah.
they're all spread out and everybody has a mask on. So it looks good. Essentially, it looks good, but still. Like
it looks like an indie show.
It does look like an indie show.
It looks like an indie show at like Coney Island or, you know, where the Cyclones play. Like, if you ever watch like the old USA Pro shows or like UWF, it kind of looks like that. Where they have like the fans that's on the ground, and which is like, you know, other AEW talent. Mm-hmm. And then they have like the actual fans like in the nosebleed sections where it's like they all spread out. That's how it looks. So it's not bad what they're doing, but we're talking about football.
Tay, okay. we'll get back to your thought momentarily because there's not too much, way too much football left. So let's talk about Adrian Peterson. One of the greatest running backs of all time has been cut by the Washington football team.
And signed. Signed to Detroit.
Yes.
We thought that he may have been done after this, but I think he has one more season left in him. We'll see where that takes him. I don't think that he would be I forgot the guy's damn name, the coach of the Lions. He was with the Patriots for a while.
Matt Patricia. He's bad.
You say he's bad.
He's bad.
You mean bad like the hood term or bad like
No, bad.
I think people just expected because he learned under Belichick that he was going to be like the second coming of Belichick for the Lions, but I don't think he had pieces to do that either.
Yeah, that shit don't work. That's not like when people leave Pop and become like dope coaches. Like people leave what's the name? Belichick. You don't know. It's like rolling the dice sometimes.
But they just got that on their resume. Super Bowl champion. Yeah,
but I think that Adrian Peterson is, you know, he's going to be a welcomed addition anywhere he goes. And I would have been sad to see that he would have ended his last season with the Washington football team.
He's
basically just helping out the next in line running back. I think that's why, because it's a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
No, but he's led
really well last season.
The last 2 years, he led the Washington football team in rushing yards and touchdowns.
And he was my, he was on my fantasy football team. So
that you won.
Make sure you won. Make sure you undefeated. Undefeated. Right. Yes.
16-0. All
right.
So I mean, like, look, Adrian Peterson is a superb talent. He's what I think he's in his what 13th year in the league. Like 13th year, right?
13th or 14th.
Yeah, something along the lines.
Maybe he is reaching that plateau of, you know, is getting quitting time. He's been dealt a kind of weird hand since his son passed away. So, I mean, it's like, hey, it's football, and maybe it's not the – maybe he needs this last year to just, like, figure out what he's going to do. But I think we're kind of, like, at the end of his career.
I think this year and – this current possibly shortened season and maybe maybe next year. I don't want to see him end his career on the Lions. That's one. Like,
I don't think anybody should end his career on the Lions.
Yeah.
It depends on how this season goes.
Yeah.
Because they're not gonna play fully.
Right.
He did good the last two seasons, like I said. Yeah. He's done good. It's just
I hope he doesn't get a Vince Carter like sign off the way
it's looking like that.
It happened, bro. Like,
that was it's so looking like that.
Shit. I mean, he's going to Detroit. It's not like he's going to be in the same position as fucking Fournier and the fucking Bucks. So I mean, it look, it's a swan song to me. I mean, if it ain't this year, it's definitely next season. One of the two.
So speaking of Fournette, yes, he has joined Bucks Row. If you haven't watched that, listen to that episode. I believe that was episode 14, right?
But how do you say his name? Is Fournette or Fournier?
Fournette.
Oh, whatever.
you just Frenched his name for no reason, bro.
Fournette.
Fournier.
Fournier. Sounds shit. Sounds smooth.
I would have thought something French, too.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I've never really heard nobody say his name like that. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. Well, he's joined Bucks Row with Shady McCoy and Rojo Ronald Jones. They have a three-headed monster there now. Like
running back wise, yes.
That shit is serious.
And then they got Gronk and listen.
Gronk, Brady, Mike Evans, all of them. Bucks Row is looking crazy right now, bro. Like, but as we've seen sometimes with super teams in football, doesn't always work out. Outside of Dallas,
than they did Chicago. A couple months ago.
Yes, they are looking so much way better than what they looked a couple months ago.
I want to know what's in the water in Tampa Bay to everybody. I've been to Tampa Bay. It wasn't all that. What's it's in Tom, the water over there that everybody trying to go to Tampa Bay?
It's Tom Brady, bro.
What made Tom Brady decide, you know what, I want to go to Tampa Bay? What is it, the hot weather? He got Tom Brady.
He could have went wherever the fuck he wanted
to go. Exactly. He chose Tampa Bay. So it's like, what's in the water over there? It's hot as fuck in Tampa Bay.
He was tired of being hot. Like, he was tired of being cold all the time, and he wasn't going to go to the Dolphins.
And I guess they had
exciting, the only thing exciting in Miami Stadium was WrestleMania,
right?
So much for that plan.
Well, at least
still hold on the grudge of that. Tay, we in WrestleMania next year. The families.
I'm so aggravated. You know, it's been months and I'm still mad, aggravated about it. I don't know.
I just got to know what's the price range for your seats because you know you VIP balling and shit. You first rolling shit. So I got to know what's my price range because we not making salary on your yet. So I need to know the price range of what I
got to make up to my daughter for the fact that she missed WrestleMania this year.
She ain't missed nothing.
Well,
did she not watch it?
No, we watched it at home like everybody else. I mean, we're not used to that. It was so weird watching it from home. It was like,
Tay's usually like the timekeeper, so she sits there.
Shelby and Willie Garcia and all of them.
Right, and her daughter's the commentator.
I always have special bracelets when I go to WrestleMania. Like,
I've only been that close one time.
Have a private bathroom.
I've
only been that close one time, and that was WrestleMania 20.
Mm.
The only time I've ever been that close, and I don't even know how much I paid for because I was young. I was like 14.
Probably a lot.
Well,
WrestleMania was always more expensive than the other ones. I find that the WrestleMania prices go up. Because what was $100 ticket back in 2012 is now like a $275 ticket.
Yes, I was. I got this app on my Fire Stick where I could watch. It's like living single 24/7. I got mad shows. So yeah, I was watching that.
What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know what that
is. My background. My background.
I love living single.
I do too. I'm watching that and Family Matters.
A real big thing for WrestleMania next year. Like, I have a perfect mansion we could all stay at in LA.
A perfect mansion. I'm just trying to be like you when I grow up.
I don't understand y'all cucumber water. I don't get it. It's like y'all don't realize y'all got a group full of project babies. I don't understand. Like we all from New York, but we ain't from the deluxe apartment in the sky like y'all.
Brownsville, I'm from Brownsville, love. I lived in
Brownsville all my life. Baby. I'm from Crown Heights and Canarsie. I mean,
bro, I told you where I grew up. We were down a block from each other, Matt.
Back in the other
day,
Canarsie was not as bad as Brownsville, boo.
It wasn't. I'm not going
to. No, Canarsie's bad now. But not
I don't know what the fuck happened. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, don't get me wrong.
I'll say it.
I ain't going to hold you. I went through some shit in Canarsie. I went through the
trenches. Yeah, but not like now. Canarsie's scared. Ooh. Yeah, I grew up in the hood. Like, I'm a hood girl.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I grew up in Brownsville, but, you know.
And that's you front seat.
Treat yourself.
Giving high fives to Michael Cole and shit.
No, let me tell you. No, my parents and, you know, I work hard for my shit, man.
I feel you.
You definitely do.
I work in there, so I just need to know how much I got to say.
Yeah, let's do it, though. I think we should rock the hell out. We not.
Well, I gotta tap into the college fund. Is what I'm asking.
Y'all did it to go to New Orleans.
I gotta tap into
the college fund. I guess.
Yeah. New Orleans was.
I can't slum it like that.
Affordable.
Nola was affordable, but it was sort of a cluster. Know. It was sort of a clusterfuck with a lot of things that went on there. But that's an off camera.
Yeah, but no, thing, my hotel was expensive.
So fat, bro.
I was in an Airbnb.
I was too. But last thing on the NFL before we get to some wrestling. Cam Newton, who we thought was going to win the starting job, didn't win the starting job.
And
he was voted one of the captains of the Patriots team.
Should have told Bill Belichick to hold your nuts, nigga. That's what you should have did. Oh, my nuts. You saw what the fuck I did in Carolina.
No, you can't. Someone with a non-guaranteed one-year deal should not tell anybody to hold their nuts.
Now, let me tell you something.
With four kids,
they're not going to get that caliber of fucking player again.
At all.
Ever. They better give him that money.
They better give him his money next year.
Mm-hmm. They basically just put their tip in and was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to give you 1 year. Let's see what this do. Nah, nigga. You about to go all in and no plan B's, homie. No plan B's. We gonna see you in 9 months. No plan B's.
Everybody talking about them Bucks. Them Bucks look scary, but them Patriots look scary too.
Yes.
They do. But
the Patriots
I won't pick them against the Bucks though.
But the Patriots are always, they're always quiet, scary. Like we knew about Tom Brady, we knew about Gronk. But we never knew so much about their surrounding pieces. It took us a while to figure out about Newman and Edelman and White, their running back, and just even when they had Randy Moss, the other pieces around them were just like, oh, okay. Go ahead, Matt.
So we're not gonna mention Hernandez. We're not gonna mention him at all.
So
too soon?
Okay. Wrestling. Wrestling.
My bad.
Yo, what happened last night?
All right, so we'll get into AEW. I wasn't playing.
I got this. Let me tell you what started. I'm gonna tell you how it started. Boom. First, Matt Hardy got concussed. I don't know how it happened. I saw how it happened. He overshot the table. Nigga hit his head on the concrete floor. It was a wrap. Nick caught the axe. They did the axe, but he finished the match.
They definitely did the axe. My man couldn't even stand up.
He couldn't stand up.
Matt Hardy is damn near 50 years old. Well, let me be fair. Matt Hardy's in his 40s, mid-40s. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This man has a beautiful wife and kids. You all right? And y'all didn't think of this?
Nah, they just said he was broken. They just said he was broken.
Yeah. So the spot was basically...
That's so dangerous.
Yeah, it was a nasty spot. So basically, they came off one of the cherry pickers, and Sammy Guevara speared Matt. And
bro,
because the table was a little bit too... The table was a smidge bit too close. But the fact that they were landing on concrete anyway... It was gonna be a bad fall regardless.
Matt did not move, and I'm looking. I'm like staring at the TV, and I'm seeing blood on the floor. I'm like, yo, he's dead, bro. Nah, he did not move.
That's dangerous.
There's a difference from a big fuck up
allowing him to finish that match.
Hey, yep. I'm not even done. That's not even it. It was more. Boom! The casino battle royal. You remember Evan Bourne? You remember Evan Bourne, right? Small dude, did the Shoe Star Press. All that, he was a tag team champion with Kofi Kingston. You remember him. I know you remember him. Remember the superstar presser to the RKO?
Yes.
Evan Bourne. Yeah, he goes by Matt Sydal, right?
He goes by his real name, yes.
Yeah. Well, he's Evan Bourne. I don't give a fuck about that. Anyways, like I was saying, boom. Surprise entrance for the Casino Battle Royal. My man gets on the top rope like it's WWE 2007. My man got on the top rope. I'm about to hit the shooting star press. Nope, baby oil on the top rope. Almost broke his neck.
Yeah, that was something else.
And I asked Jay, I was like, yo, was that planned? Like, yo, Jay, you saw the best. I was like, was that planned?
Yeah,
or was that, I was like, because I was like,
did he slip?
Damn near.
Dre.
What are you doing, bro?
Sorry.
Technical difficulty you haven't asked. What is you doing, bro?
I'm adding something to the stream. Sorry.
I'm taking your plate tonight. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking your plate. What did you order anyway?
You clearly got me fucked up. You taking my plate. You clearly got me fucked up.
Homeboy almost broke his neck on that top rope. He slipped hard. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, yo, what are they doing, bro?
Right.
That was bad this whole time, bro. Like, I was just
I do have the video, guys, tape because you didn't see it. I'm gonna show you. Check this out.
The 21st man.
Now is this
Matt Sydal?
Oh, what? Hotline Matt Sydal making his AEW debut as a Joker in this battle royal.
Okay, I'm not happy about this.
Matt Sydal is opening his third
A knee strike.
A hell of a knee strike by Sydal.
A hell of an athlete, I'll tell you that.
He'll take every chance known to man and animal.
Oh, Sydal slipping off the top rope.
He slipped. The nipple is really small.
Yo. That could have been...
Oh!
I feel bad for him.
Oh man, the first move in AEW history is correct.
No, his first knee shot to the other side was good. But yeah. I think the momentum.
I don't be watching Japan.
Overtook him. You know what I'm saying? Like he was.
That's his third eye. That's
his piccolo. Okay.
I guess so.
I feel bad for him. I couldn't even laugh, yo.
King Kai times 20. It's okay.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad.
Bro, that was crazy.
I hope you guys do better, y'all.
I hate it had to be him, man, because I like Matt Sydal. I like him.
I haven't seen. Has he been anywhere in the past? Like
it's a Japan.
No, he's was in Impact for the longest time, for a couple years.
I don't watch that show. Sorry,
I don't watch that show.
What channel does it come on?
Access.
I don't know. I'm not even
sure. I watch Access TV.
I watch it on the fight. Watching on the fight thing.
I don't know. I watch it on like
you watch it. So stop playing with me.
No, I don't know what channel is on. I don't know what channel is on. I watch it on like a website.
I watch it because it's Josh still.
Oh my god. I didn't even recognize him.
He's Piccolo. No, he's TN. He's TN.
All right. No problem. So more wrestling. Let's go.
What else happened? So
because I can do it.
Reigns, y'all.
No. Let's stay on AEW right now. Because I hope Quintus is watching this, right?
You never get a chance to rant on them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's just say I fell asleep and woke up and John Moxley won the title. He's still the champion. I don't know how that happened. I fell asleep during the tag team title match. Shout out to F the Revolt. I fucks with you. They deserve that tag team championship. I didn't understand why the fuck. Like Kenny Omega and Hangman had the title in the first place. Not shitting on Kenny Omega and Hangman because they are great. I just don't understand why they're a fucking tag team. I don't get it. Especially when you got the Young Bucks in your goddamn stable. It's stupid, but it's whatever. It's AEW where the tag teams come to play. Shout out to Private Party. Did dope last night. I saw that match.
Honestly, that was better. That tag team match, the Private Party match.
What's the match of the night?
Was one of the best matches. On the card.
Woo!
It was one of the best matches on the card for sure.
Thunder Rosa and I can't pronounce that.
And Hikaru Shida.
It was all right, but again, that's not for that crowd. That match was not for that crowd. That match was not for that crowd.
No, it wasn't, and Thunder Rosa shouldn't have lost, but that's...
No, she should have lost. She's the fucking NWA champion. What do you mean?
Like
you don't want to. She wins that title. She's burying that whole division. It is already buried. That's just 13 feet under as is. You really want to make it 13?
That's fine. That's fine. Somebody got to do something.
I know Shanties is watching this and she is dying laughing right now. But yeah, it's already 12 feet. Thunder Rosa wins that title. You like, damn, you sitting on that whole women's division in public.
Oh well.
On pay per view.
Oh well.
Now everybody knows. Including so, your fans.
We do have to move on. All in all, that pay per view it wasn't the best. It was low key trash. There was some high moments. There was some high moments, but there was a lot of low moments. It went down. The matches, first of all, some of these matches were too long. The pay per view started. And that was a good match too.
Orange Cassidy is the man. I don't know why Wilkins hate him so much, but Orange Cassidy is the shit. Shout out to Jericho. Le Champion.
By the way, I just got an alert that the Bucks in the Heat are starting soon. I don't know. I don't care.
If he don't play, I swear to God. We're gonna be in this party with me on Facebook Live. Saying, where the Bruins at?
So let's jump into our spotlight. Now our spotlight on the big dog, Roman Reigns. He has come a long way.
Not to me. He always had the chops for me.
Yeah, and I think what we're not realizing is that like people are like, oh, Roman was never healed, blah, 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 blah. Roman was never healed by himself, but he was healed before, and that goes into the whole Bray Wyatt story in terms of turning people, because we can already see what's going on with Alexa Bliss. We already saw what's going on with Braun Strowman reverting back.
But Roman never faced The Fiend yet, though.
Face The Fiend.
When?
The triple threat match.
Roman, baby,
a triple threat.
He was already changing before that. So
hold up. So when was he babyface?
Who? Roman.
When was he babyface?
Well, he's a baby face.
Pay attention to his character. He was a badass. He wasn't a baby face.
But still, so he was a baby face.
Yeah, he was a baby face, bro.
I don't agree. But okay.
This nigga was the most make a wish ass person.
They just had him. That's the only thing that made him
of all time.
No, but the thing is, he was always like they tried it. You know what I'm saying? This is the only time, I guess. Let me tell you something. I hate that this is during quarantine right now, during COVID.
Yes. Yes. But they need it.
Monumental fucking mic work by Paul Heyman, man. His mic work on Friday was, whoa.
I felt it all.
Amazing. Amazing.
Whoa.
Real. Like, it was.
It blew my mind. That was the best mic work I've seen from Paul Heyman talking about a superstar in a fucking long time.
Roman needs to stay.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
The Usos need to be down. I feel like it.
He dissed them on Twitter this morning. Mm-hmm. He's like, I didn't think you could do it by yourself. I was like, ooh, Roman. Ooh.
Listen, Roman, from what I've been told, Roman requested to come back heel. And since you had nothing to do with Paul Heyman, honestly, and Brock is gone, essentially Brock is gone for what we know.
Fuck him.
It makes sense.
I'm good with that.
Let me tell you something. I'm not good with Brock Lesnar's money.
I'm seeing Roman Reigns in the light that I'm seeing him right now with
but
Paul
you know
Heyman.
I would love to see Brock and Roman like this. Another
feud
with them. I would love to see it that way.
Like 5 matches with them. I'm tired
of them. We would get face Lesnar like Lesnar in 02.
I imagine is not a face ever.
Well, we had face Lesnar at one point in time, and it wasn't bad. It was
that almost broke his fucking neck.
Yes.
I'm so glad that they didn't rush Roman and Bray.
I'm glad they didn't rush Roman Bray.
You were trying to say that the Fiend had an impact on Roman, and that's not the case this time around. Because everybody else, you're talking about Braun and Cena and all these people, they fought him as the Fiend. Roman was a heel before when he signed that contract right as the match was ending, that was the heel turn in
that was fucking beautiful.
That was amazing.
Bruce Prichard. Was that Bruce Pritchard?
That definitely could have been, but
that is something to wrestle with.
What I like about Roman right now is that he has the chip on his shoulder with the WWE universe for the right reasons.
Yes.
So this was the right time to kind of pull that trigger. Now I don't know who's the best person to kind of go after him as the face in this feud besides his cousin. Yeah. Nobody else is believable to me.
Yeah, I think right now,
and Matt Riddle.
I think so. Right Riddle, now, Uso is being fed.
They're building them.
Yeah, Uso is basically being fed to Roman. In a couple weeks, but I think it's still gonna be a good match regardless.
I didn't watch the ending of SmackDown. That's the crazy thing.
I do see the Fiend interfering.
Yeah, or coming in at the end or something.
Oh, God. Something happened with that. But can we get what's his name, Baron Corbin to Raw, please?
Yeah. Let's put him on Raw and I think
Baron needs a championship.
I think him versus.
I forgot to tell you something, Dre. Well, my bad, Dre. But a couple weeks ago, remember you was shouting out Johnny Curtis and Tyler Breeze, the tag team champions now.
Yes, they are the NXT tag team champions. That's all.
I love Johnny. I love Fandango. Oh my god.
Oh my bad, Fandango. I was calling him Johnny Curtis. My bad.
Oh man, I love him.
But yes, Baron Corbin should probably go to Raw and feud. He needs to feud with Drew McIntyre.
Yo, let me tell you something. I'm not enjoying. He needs he's squandering a little bit right now. Not really. I love the King gimmick.
Oh, Baron Corbin? Man, I've been high on Baron Corbin for years.
He's not going to be the top bad guy on SmackDown anymore.
And he's not going to be, yeah. Yeah, it's over for that because you have Roman that's a heel now. Braun is heel. Yeah.
I want to see how long it lasts.
You're putting yourself lower and lower on the card, essentially, in terms of heels. On Raw, he can stand out, even though we have the Hurt Business doing their thing on Raw. Shout out to the Hurt Business.
Yeah, but they're not in the main event scene.
Right. They're not in the main event scene. Randy isn't going to be in the main event scene for long.
I hope he wins the title, though.
He's not. He's not.
Let me tell you something. He could, but he don't need it.
He could.
That's the match, right? Him and Drew McIntyre for Clash.
At Clash, yeah. I do. For this particular feud, I kind of want Randy to win just so he can like for him to have another run with it and have because this faces that the Raw has faces that will take it away from him.
Hey, I gotta ask you this question. Who's more entertaining right now, Randy or Drew McIntyre?
Both.
Equally?
I gave Randy his flowers last week.
No, that's why I asked you that question.
I like Drew as champion.
He's boring.
Let me tell you something. I feel like he's not putting the right feud. You need, like, the Orton feud is a good feud for him.
Sadiq full of shit. He full of shit. Drew is not that damn entertaining as a champion.
He's entertaining to me, but you know, Randy Orton is like I said last week. He's a once in a lifetime type of superstar. So you know, it's really hard to shine as a babyface with Orton as a heel because people are going to cheer for that Orton.
Yeah,
I got it.
It happened in the Cena Orton feud too.
Yeah,
that was good.
Corbin versus Drew. That's the only way I feel it's going to make more sense. For the it's only going to make more sense.
Give them a lengthy feud, though. Don't give them like what you did to Dolph Ziggler and that's it. Or what you've been doing, just giving one and done. Just give them a lengthy feud like you're doing with Randy. Baron Corbin can hold a feud.
It's having Edge. They're going to go back. They're about to go back to each other in a minute. Edge.
People don't get how good Baron Corbin is. Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin feud was probably the best thing that was on TV for a while. And people were shitting on it because of the dog food shit. I get that part. Yeah, I get that part. But outside of dog food stuff, this is probably one of the best feuds that was around.
It wasn't Roman's best feud. I feel like his best feud was either Braun or Bray.
No.
I think so.
Braun, no.
Mm-mm. You don't think so?
Braun's best feud. That wasn't Roman's best. That was Braun's best because all Roman did was elevate Braun.
I feel like they elevated each other.
Hell no!
I'm talking about like his. I'm talking about like his match.
No. Let's not even go there. No. Braun needed Roman. Roman didn't need Braun.
I didn't say that he did need him. I just felt like they both elevated each other in a sense.
Not to me, because Roman was already the man.
Roman was already put on that pedestal. To where
he put on the pedestal don't mean that you were the man.
He's the man. Are you? He's the face of the company.
Being the man means everybody agrees.
No, not everybody agreed with damn Becky Lynch. Like,
wait, what do you mean?
Who's popping more than Becky Lynch around that time?
All of Roman Reigns' peers respects him as a locker room leader. So he is the even before the cancer diagnosis, he was the man backstage for at least a year or two. Let's be real here. He was the most talked about on these goddamn sites. You know what I'm saying? He got the loudest reaction of the night. Braun needed that rub more than Roman needed that rub. Roman just beat Brock Lesnar for the fucking championship. You know how big deal that is? Like, nah.
That is type crazy.
Yeah, nah. But I feel like Roman is, I think this is where he's going, his legacy is going to be solidified 100%. His work is, that Paul Heyman, no one saw that coming.
No, not at all. But one last thing before we end off. So, and this is real quick. So Vince McMahon has decided that superstars have 30 days to cut off their third-party streams of income, like YouTube, Twitch, Cameo. Real quick, how do you feel about that? Nope. You said nope?
No comment.
Honestly, I don't get it. Like, it's not that deep. We're in a pandemic.
Well,
Cameo's helping out a lot of people. Cameo's helping out a lot of
them. They're making money off of their intellectual property, though. Like, if you, you know what I'm saying, you're popular because of a certain brand, you know, they own the rights to your name. It's like,
I don't know. It feels like, it feels like Vince is trying to, like, add more power to himself. It's not that deep. It really isn't.
It is that deep, though, because at the end of the day, the business, a lot of businesses are struggling right now. Let's be real with you. And at the end of the day, you know, if you're signed to a company, right, and you know that that likeness and that image does not belong to you, you get what I'm saying? It's not like you're using your real name. You're using the name that they gave you.
Right. On the business end of it, I understand it, because if I built up a character and gave it to you and you went and make money someplace else and I'm not making money off of it either, all right, now we have a problem, because I'm basically handed you money and now you're going to make more money and I'm not getting part of it.
Right.
So I get it. Essentially, I get it, because that's what it all comes down to in terms of copywriting and owning the shit.
Yeah.
Like, so I get it. I understand. But there's certain people like Xavier Woods, who goes by Austin Creed. He doesn't use his WWE name. He doesn't use any of that. That's who I'm more concerned about, because he built up a platform for himself. So I'm hoping that they're not going to take at least his, because AJ owns his name too. AJ's been on Twitch and everything for a while now. So it's just it's certain individuals who's going to have more stroke to it. So, but we're gonna end the show right here. This was
the first time I ever see her use it. That's the crazy thing, but yeah,
right. I wish I could tell y'all what just happened, but shout out to you guys. Yo, you're not making it easy to end this episode, Matt. Shut up.
That shit threw me off because I'm like,
I just look. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to the Jobberteers Network. We have some birthdays coming up. Our very own Janelle from the HR. Her birthday is the 8th. Oh man, we're celebrating today.
Tonight. My baby birthday on the 13th. Boom.
Aww.
My first baby, her birthday was on the 1st, it just passed. My brother's on the 11th. My niece is on the 9th. I got my other niece on the 8th. It's like, damn,
a lot of birthdays.
My best friend's birthday is on the 7th.
That's your best friend's birthday.
It's horrible.
Who? I said on the 7th. I didn't say, I forgot.
Horrible.
Y'all, you know what? You know what? Again, shout out to the Jobberteers Network, Cats and Dogs, Talk of Champions, the Jobberteers Podcast, the Mr. Black Show, Big Four, all of that stuff, and us, of course, at the Eurosports Show. So, make sure you tune in next week. What is it? After the Euro comes back. We are back with another episode of After the Year. It is gonna be, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be wild and crazy. So
You're going to go into why Backstreet Boys are better than NSYNC.
Stop it with the bullshit. No, they're not. Like, no, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Yo, ain't nobody on Backstreet Boys selling like Justin Timberlake. Stop. Stop.
Up, because they're a group. Because Backstreet Boys are a group.
And they're trash.
Oh, man. Body, no, right, man.
I don't even know them guys in NSYNC anymore. Number after 2002.
This, I promise you, is a classic.
They haven't performed together since 2002. What's Justin Timberlake is a culture vulture, too. Let's
I don't think it was 2002. I think they performed in the Super Bowl. Look at that straight. I want to throw that out there.
What? It's
not that. I think they performed.
And he ruined Janet's career too. So how about that?
Janet Jackson's career too. What?
You don't remember what happened? And she got all the backlash for something that he did.
I remember all of that. I ain't gonna lie.
And Justin Timberlake was a culture vulture. He wanted to be all hip hop and with Timberland and T.I. and all stuff like that. And
with
racism and police brutality. Hold on, let me finish. Let me say he was all tough. Shucking and jiving with Timberland and that's what the first thing he said, y'all. Dre, that's what the first thing he said.
Look.
All lives matter. How about that?
He dead ass said all lives matter.
That's talking about that man's talent. That's what we're doing. Don't try to gaslight everybody.
Who
the hell is the lead singer of Backstreet Boys? Nobody knows.
Once
Nobody
he was black people's
stylist, he was the least of a man of the
world. Save it for Sunday, guys.
Building their image.
Yeah, save it for Sunday. This is I'm pretty sure this is gonna be a funny episode of After the Year.
How did you think out of Backstreet Boys was Aaron Carter?
Guys.
Let me tell you something. I Want It That Way is the boy band song, the best boy band song ever. NSYNC. Let me tell you something. Yes, it was.
Everybody was doing bye, bye, bye. What the fuck?
Guys,
we have to end. We have to end the show.
He shucked and jabbed all over the place. Guys, all lives matter.
Really?
That's what he said.
We're gonna make this into a racial overtone debate. That's what we're gonna do.
He made his money off y'all. He just likes skin, he ain't white. He likes
everybody.
Okay, all right. Guys. Okay. All right.
That.
What?
For the queen. Queen Tay.
Shout out to Aaron Carter.
He wasn't even in the group.
It
was Justin Timberlake in the pit. That was it. One of them guys is on Super Market Street right now. He's on the game show. He's on the game show network.
Listen, I'm about to remove y'all both from the stream. Let me end the show.
For
Queen Tay. For Queen Tay.
Shout out to Aaron Carter.
For BK. For BK Mac.
You don't know nobody else on that dance. You don't know nobody else there.
All right,
you don't know nobody else there.
Backstreet Boys sold more albums.
It is your boy, Big Baby, signing off.
Numbers now. Let's talk about the cultural impact. Nobody knows the Backstreet Boys.
Bye, y'all.